to Northfield Baptist Church tonight on these evangelistic meeting nights. Great to be reminded that we are saved by the blood of Jesus. And we look forward to some good singing, testimonies, music, and preaching. So I'm going to ask Brother Raines to lead us.
All right. Take your hymnals. Turn to hymn number 386. Revive us again. And I trust that's your prayer tonight. It's if you're a Christian here, that the Lord would revive you again and quicken your heart and your love for the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet and sing this out. Hymn number 386. Revives his people, he gets all the glory. Amen. And that's what it's all about, is giving him the glory that's due his name. And when saints are not revived and not walking in that close relationship with the Lord, he's not getting the glory that he deserves. And he wants his glory to be revealed right here in this church. Amen. And so let's ask him on this last verse to revive us again. Make this a prayer of your heart, even tonight as we sing. On that four stanza.
Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love, may each soul be rekindled with thy from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again.
Bow together in prayer. I'm going to ask Dr. Gilmore, would you please lead us?
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight. We pray that you will bless the singing of the songs of Zion. Thank you, Father, that you put a song in our heart. That's the difference between religion and Jesus. Jesus gives you a song, and a new song. Not the song of the world, but the song of a soul set free. And we thank you for that song in our heart tonight through Jesus Christ. Those of you who don't have that song, Lord, I pray that you would bless Father throughout the day, throughout the service, direct it, have your way, defeat Satan, defeat the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Turn now to hymn number 343, Springs of Living Water. And wow, when you get saved and you get to experience all that God has for you. And then as a Christian, you get to learn more and more what He has in store for you, and you get to rejoice and enjoy all that the blessings that He has as for you as a believer. So let's sing about these 343.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfied there I found. Water, happy now am I, my soul.
glad you're saved tonight. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the world doesn't have any spring to draw water from. No living water. All it can do is search for in a dry and thirsty land among parched ground for something to satisfy them. And like the woman at the well, she says, "Sir, I long that thou should give me this living water." And that's what the world needs. They need Jesus to give them that living water from himself, and then they'll be satisfied. So that's our job as Christians. Praise the Lord, we have it. And let's pray for those that don't have it yet. We just want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Serve the Lord with gladness. The other one says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's a blessing to have some visitors with us tonight. And we are glad for each visitor. And we're glad for each one who brought visitors with us. And I believe it's good to have Felony and Ethan and Bryson with us tonight. Welcome. And maybe Mrs. Rice went to the banquet. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that banquet this past Friday night that you went to, and what it was all about, and how it relates to our new ladies ministry here at the church. And then Felony can add in as well. Go ahead.
Felony is the director of Hope Crisis Pernicus Center, and there's a couple offices, one in Ocean City and one in Cape May. And I got to hear her speak and present the need that's been growing in this region. And in the past year, she announced how they helped well over 100 moms coming in, and some of them were dead set on abortion, and they stepped in that way. But we have learned, and of course, of a church, we always love to reach out. People have always walked in the store and said, "We have a need here, a need there," to come to church service, to get the pastor and the deacons, and then they see how the church may be able to fill that need after, of course, first encouraging them to fill the first void, which is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as a church, as it was discussed before, trying to make the community more aware how a church is willing and is able to function to reach out to those around for souls, but we also want to help one another. We come in naturally, we help one another, but it seems a lot of people don't see that as a natural thing. And so trying to put this out there and with different contacts, and with even the young people have been coming to our church here through Mexico, but then now 5 moms reached out to, and one of them is someone's co-worker here. And so we're just excited to see the opportunities we have, and we have some resources, but most importantly, God and his word, you know, we can encourage one another. And I shared my testimony before, for those who hadn't heard it. My mom was in her own situation with me when she was expecting me, and she was told to abort me, and then she decided to put me up for adoption, and there was one more signature for her to sign, and she decided to keep me. And due to the abusive relationship that she was in, she went home, did nothing to sleep on, and I slept in a cardboard box. And then through the ministry of a local church, her resources were met, but mostly her need for the Lord and her encouragement to walk in the relationship with God. And that really set, you know, wings under her feet for the day that she passed, really, and wanted to later in life try and reach out to others in another way as well, through serving the Lord. So everyone's trials are temporary, and the church, we can help each other when we go to see the light. So, but Felony has some interesting things about here, including if you want to address that.
So as Carrie mentioned, we have an annual banquet every year. So this year, going into 2019, my focus is on starting up a campus ministry. We are trying to get on Stockton University's campus. We are recognized as an affiliate organization, which allows students to come into our center and do volunteer time. But my ultimate mission is to have students have almost like a miniature center on Stockton's campus. Planned Parenthood is there every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. While they don't actively provide abortions there, they do certainly refer for them at their Cherry Hill office. So that is something that we are up against and just want to get the word out that there is other options and that they are certainly welcome at our doors. I have certainly reached out to Carrie in the past couple months and kind of partnered with Northfield as one of my contact churches because my other mission is to get our clients established within the church. We can only do so much inside the center with the 15 to 30 minutes that we spend with our clients. And ultimately, a relationship with God has to be first and foremost. We can give them as much diapers and clothes and whatever else they need, but if they don't have the relationship with the Lord, it's just going to be a continued downhill spiral. So bridging our connection with our churches is my other goal. So I've been going around trying to connect with the other churches. My friendship with the Rices has been ongoing for several years, so they are certainly, you know, have taken us underneath their wing and done whatever they can, so we certainly appreciate that. We're also looking to start a men's ministry because so many men are forgotten as not only victims of the abortion themselves, but are caught up in situations where they may be in an unfriendly relationship and a child is involved. So getting out the doors and providing that. Another thing that we're doing is an Earn While We Learn program, which is where our clients are actually referred to our local churches to attend Bible studies, church services, to get what we call mommy bucks. And then instead of coming to us for free stuff, they can kind of use their mommy bucks to shop in like our store and buy things with their mommy bucks rather than spend money because a lot of them are hurting financially. So those are just some things moving forward. The other thing that is off the ground is Abby Johnson's movie Unplanned is out, or is coming out this Friday. It is rated R. However, it is rated R simply because it shows an abortion. It's a powerful movie. I saw it last night because I wasn't here. And it's just a powerful movie to show the truth behind what they do and what their mission is at Planned Parenthood. So if you do get a chance, I would encourage you to research it a little bit. Her side project is Then There and Then There Were None, which is her way of getting Planned Parenthood workers out of that industry and over into becoming pro-life advocates. So, again, we thank you guys for your support. I loved having Carrie there. I felt that I couldn't talk with her as much as I could, but we certainly thank you guys for your continued support here at Northfield and look forward to 2019.
Amen. Let's pray for parachurch ministries that have been raised up over the years to help local churches like Crisis Pregnancy Center there in Rio Grande and Ocean City.
Yeah, and right now we're the only one that covers Cape May and Atlantic County. The center in Ape Harbor City has closed, So they're potentially reopening. However, they're kind of pulling the Bible out of it. I guess there's no other way to put it. They are being advised that that embarrasses or shies away their clients. We don't operate like that. We don't believe in that. Our clients are getting the gospel at least the first visit and then built on based on their situation. There we service well over 100 clients a year, so we will not move away from that, but it sounds like we may be in order to try and draw in more clients. So
yes,
pray for them.
Yes, let's pray for Rose over in Egg Harbor City that they don't do that, that they stay with the Bible, because if they lose their biblical footing, then God's blessings will also be gone too. So let's pray for that. All right, so let's pray for these important ministries. Pray for our own ministry here among the moms, and as Carrie and Felony work together, and as we can get those moms, those baby bucks to, as they come out to church, that's a good incentive program. Get them into a church where they can be saved and discipled, and then they can help their baby grow in the Lord. Just by way of other announcements, Thursday night we are having pizza and send-off night. So if you would like to purchase a pizza, they cost us $6 each pizza, and we'll have a sign-up list out tonight, so on the way out you can sign up if you want to buy a pizza or two, and we want to send off the Gilmores with a great send-off, or you can bring food if you'd like to bring food on Thursday night. We'd love to have any food as well, and just have a nice time with them afterward, and let them know how much they're appreciated. And tonight is men's night, and any man that brought a visitor, okay, John? Okay.
No, I see our hair. But we've got Lamar, Michelle, and Nancy.
All right, great. All right, John, and feel free to pick up a book on the book table there, and show it to Dr. Gilmore. Great. Well done. Then tomorrow night is teen and kid night, so the teen or kid with the most visitors tomorrow night will get a book or a Bible from the bookstore. Then, alright, and then also pray for our Master Club kids, 3rd through 6th graders. They go this Saturday to regionals at Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, Faith Baptist Church, and they've prepared well for that, and so let's pray for them. Then, we are collecting Easter egg candy. If you can bring in some candy or small toys that fit inside Easter eggs, we are going to assemble them April 17th, Wednesday, April 17th, and then we'll hide them all around. We have about 700 or so Easter eggs that we want to fill and to give out the gospel for that Saturday before Easter Sunday. This time we'll ask our ushers to come. Everything given in the heart offering plates tonight will go toward Dr. Gilmore and his evangelistic ministry. Tomorrow night we're taking up a special collection. Everything tomorrow night will go to Brother Raines, Evangelist Raines, and his wife and their family and their new ministry as they are starting out in evangelism, and we want to be a blessing to both of them. So let us pray and give and ask God's multiplying blessing. Let us bow together in prayer. Amen.
Asked me to share my testimony, how I came to the Lord, so I'll do that here tonight. My wife shared hers last night. If you missed that, feel free to ask her after the service and she can share that with you. But I grew up in a Christian home. My parents moved to Wisconsin in 1978. They, at the time, had two children, a boy and a girl, and they were set. They were the American family, you know, boy and a girl, and they had both had jobs, I believe. I know my dad did. I can't remember if my mom at the time had one, but they were set. That's all the kids they were going to have. And anyways, they moved up, and as soon as they moved up, God led my pastor to their door, met them, and my parents were both saved at the time, but were not in a good church, and were hungry for the truth. And so they started attending McQuanago Baptist Church that following Sunday after they moved up, and they've been there for the last 40 years. And they started hearing good Bible preaching, and it really started causing them to think about their family and the whole purpose of that. And so thankfully, they decided to have more kids, and the Lord gave them 6 more children, and I was one of those 6. So I'm glad that the Lord worked in their heart that way. But so there were 8 of us kids total, and I was number 7. But I grew up going to church multiple times a week. Every time the doors were open, every night we had family devotion. So I was in an environment where I was immersed in the Word of God. and really developed a heart for the things of God. And so at the age of 10, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was at Vacation Bible School. I heard a sermon on hell and the reality of hell. And of course, growing up, I had heard all that. But the Lord really convicted me that day, and I responded to His convicting work and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a 10-year-old boy. And then after that, shortly after that, the Lord worked on my heart just about surrendering everything to the Lord and letting Him do whatever He wants in my life, and I surrendered that way. And it has led to a whole life of surrender, a whole life of just yielding to the Lord, and I wouldn't trade it. You know, as a young man, obviously you see the world, you see all the temptations that this world has to offer, and when you walk with God and know the Lord, those things pale in comparison. And obviously there were struggles, but being in an atmosphere where I was nurtured in the home there and directed towards the things of God, and then hearing the Word of God over and over just strengthened my walk with the Lord, got me through those struggles. And I, as a 15-year-old boy, I surrendered to the Lord's call to preach and really aimed my life in that direction, preparing for that, and did whatever I could. You know, I loved when visiting preachers. Brother Gilmore used to come to my church every 3 or 4 years, and I always looked forward to that and every other evangelist that would come in. And the Lord just kind of directed one step at a time my life and prepared me for the ministry that we're now in, and I'm excited about that and how the Lord has led in that way. Tomorrow night, we'll share how the Lord brought my wife and I together, okay? So that is part two in our testimony today. All right, you can take your hymnals now and turn to hymn number 344. Hymn number 344, Satisfied. I trust that tonight, if you're here, there's an emptiness in your heart. What you need is it needs to be satisfied, and the only one who can satisfy that is Jesus Christ when you find Him. So hymn number 344 on the first stanza.
All my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring that I hope would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing, through His blood I now am saved.
You know, one thing we can do is learn from examples in the Bible, and verse 2 there, feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone, reminds of the story of the prodigal son. And you know, we can learn from those stories. We don't have to go those paths to experience them and then come back to the Lord. We can recognize, you know what, this world has nothing to offer. Everything in the Word of God is true, and He's got the greatest path for us if we follow Him. And so don't be that young person who sees the things of the world and says, I'm going to go experience that, and then be drawn back to the Lord. Just skip right over that and find your satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand to our feet, and we'll sing the second and the fourth stanza. On the second stanza,
feeding on the musk around me till my strength was almost gone. Mark my soul for something better, so may still do.
You may be seated. At this time, my wife and I are going to sing a song entitled God's Love.
God's love reached out to me one day on Calvary, when I was lost in sin and shame. He pardoned all my sin, and now He lives within. Oh, blessed love of God, so rich and free. His love is broader than any ocean, and it is deeper than any sea. The love of Jesus took Him to Calvary
to suffer
there for you and me. How sweet to walk each day and know He's there alway. Assured His love does satisfy. Oh, sinner, heed His call. Make Him your all in all. No truer friend you'll find along life's road. His love is broader than any ocean, and it is deeper than any sea. The love of Jesus took Him
to suffer
there for.
Stand, please. Everyone standing, if you would.
Everyone standing, please, if you can, if you're able to. We appreciate you do that. All right, all those 4 years old through the fifth, sixth grade can follow Brother Rains outside to a room downstairs. Or you don't have a downstairs, do you? But anyway, out here to a room that... He's going to have a special class for that crowd. All right. The rest of you can take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5 in your Bible tonight. Mark's Gospel and chapter number 5 in your Bible. And I'll be there in just a minute, but I'm going to read one scripture to you. Mark chapter number 5. You go right there, and I'll be there in just a minute to join fellowship with you in Mark chapter number 5. All right, and the verse I want to call your attention to before we get to Mark chapter 5 is Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, where the Bible says, "Wherefore He is able also to save to the uttermost all those who come unto God by Him." He's able to save unto the uttermost all those who come unto God by Him. All right, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank You for every opportunity to open the Bible, and we pray that You would use the Bible in our midst tonight, Lord, and You would show Yourself strong, that You would change our lives, help us to go out different than when we came in, Lord, for the good. We know that we never hear the Word of God and remain the same. We either harden our hearts or we... get Your blessing, and we get a tender heart, a more tender heart towards You. And so we pray that no one would go out of this building with a hard heart, a heart harder than ever before. But Lord, help us to go out with tender hearts, moldable hearts, soft hearts, tender hearts, to do what you want us to do, Lord, in life. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated, please. I want to appreciate what your greatest need is. What my greatest need is. What the need of every individual in this world is. The greatest need. That great need is this. That is faith to believe that God is able. Faith to believe that God is able. That's your great need. That's my great need, to believe that. This is a message of faith. I love that song, He is able, He is able. I know He is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He is able. He is able. I know my Lord is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. He makes the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. He is able. He is able. I know He is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Oh, I'll tell you something, folks. We need faith. This is a message of faith. You see, what attaches you to a God who is able is faith. That's what attaches you to a God who is able, say. And you need faith. This is a message of faith. We really need faith. Faith is something that... you need to be saved. By the way, everybody can have faith. You know, I've heard people say, you know, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith. And they say that the gift of there is referring to faith. No, it's talking about salvation is a gift. It's not faith that's a gift. You know, you have faith. You don't need the gift of faith. You have it. Say, how do I know that? Well, you had faith to sit in that chair tonight and believe that it was going to hold you, right? You had faith to put the keys into your car and turn the ignition and believe the motor was going to start. You had faith. See, you don't... everyone has faith. Now, a lot of people have more faith than others. Granted. But, you know, it's like Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, you don't need a lot of faith to be saved. Just take the little faith you got and put it in Jesus. And you can be saved, say. See, it's not your faith that saves you. It's the object of your faith. You know, you can have faith in the church and you'll die and go to hell. You can have faith in yourself, your good life, and die and go to hell. You can have faith in what a preacher says, and die and go to hell. You see, it's not faith that saves, it's the object of your faith. Now, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, you know, little faith will take your soul to heaven, but he said great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Say, I mean, you have heaven down here, you know. You got heaven in your heart, heaven in your life, because you got great faith. And that great faith enables you to know a God who is able. A God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we could ever ask or think. Say. So we need faith. That's what you need. You need faith. I need faith. I pray every day, God, give me a greater faith. Lord, I want a bigger faith. I want my faith to expand. I want it to get bigger. Say. I want my faith to just fill me up to full, almost exploding. Say. And so many Christians, they got just this little teeny faith that got them saved. And they never go any further, you know. Why do you need faith? Well, you know, it's the only way you're going to face today. I mean, you know, it's a terrible day we live in. How are you going to face today without faith in a God who's able? Say, I mean, it's impossible. You know, I don't know about you, but I think our country's in such a bad shape. I mean, I really believe we could have civil war in this nation. I believe we could. I believe it's on the verge. Why? Because we have so much hate and so much division. And you know, we need faith to be able to face this world. The uncertainty of this nation that we're living in, even this nation, the uncertainty of this world. We need a faith to believe that God is able. Say, He is able. So how are you going to develop that faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You will never have a faith that's big and expands when you don't read your Bible. You'll never have a faith, I mean, that really, really grows if you don't come to church and hear the Bible preached and taught. You stay home and watch television, your faith isn't going to grow. You go to the mall, your faith's not going to grow. You know, you're not going to have a great faith, reading textbooks on how to fix a car. That's all right to read those things, but hey, how about developing your faith? Do you read the Bible? You know, why is it so many people come to church and they go to grow up in the church and then when they get out of high school, they never darken the door of church again? You know why? Because they didn't grow their faith when they were young. See, you need to grow your faith when you're a young person. How do you do that? You read your Bible and you spend time in the Bible. And you come to church when the doors are open. Mom and Dad, if you want your kids to have faith when they get out of this church and when they're going to some school or somewhere where they teach them evolution, they teach them all kinds of immorality and all kinds of wickedness. I mean, you need to have those kids in every service that they possibly can be in. Not just hit and miss. Come to church when you feel like it, when it's convenient. Your kids are they're going to have a teeny faith, and man, the devil's going to come along and they're just going to go blowing like a tumbleweed down the road, you know? You need to set the example. And you need to bring them to church, and don't give them a choice about it. You come and bring them. You know, one of the things about the rains, I think I mentioned this. Do you know that whenever the doors of church were open, the whole Raines family was there? Not just the mom and dad, all the kids too. All the kids. And I'll tell you something. You look at that Brother Raines. You know, I mean, he's an example of faith and the feeding of his faith. He was fed. His faith grew. He never had a time of rebellion. Never had a time when he said, I'm going into the world. Never had that. Why? Because he had a dad and a mom who developed his faith by being in church and hearing the Word of God, you see. And of course, you know, I'm sure that they personally read the Word of God, because, you know, you can come to church, if you don't personally read it, you know, your faith's not going to, it'll be a little bit bigger than if you never came to church. But you personally have got to say, I need to spend time in God's Word. Say. And I'll tell you something, that's the key to having faith. Now, you know, I want you to see tonight in this passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 24, and later on verses 20 through 29, you find three great miracles in this passage of Scripture. Three great miracles. And tonight I want to point out these miracles to you, and I want you to see that we can find out from these miracles that Jesus is able, that God is able. We're going to see that. We're going to see that in these miracles. Now, you know, the Bible tells us in these miracles about three outstanding needs. There were three outstanding needs. Mark, by the way, the book of Mark is a miracle book. So a lot of miracles in the book of Mark. And there are three outstanding needs here. First of all, there is a need of a lunatic, a guy that is just crazy, in verses 1 through 12. And I don't have time to read these verses, okay, tonight? So you need to go home and read these verses yourself. And verses 1 through 12, you find a story about a lunatic. He's a wild man. He runs through the tombs naked. He's out there running around naked. Kind of sounds like today. I mean, we're almost getting to nakedness in this country, you know. I dread summer, don't you? I love winter. I love winter because, you know, you don't have so much nakedness. But boy, the summer comes, and boy, I tell you what, every year it's just less and less and less. You know, and it's kind of like this guy. You know, he's running around naked. He's wild. He's uncontrollable in verses 1 through 12. And then you find another great need. You find the need of a woman who had an incurable disease for 12 years. She's trying to get this disease cured. And, you know, she spent all her money going to the doctors, the hospitals, and, you know, drugs and everything else, and trying to find a cure for this disease. And she's come up short. There's no cure there. And then you find another great need of a little girl, a man who was a centurion, which means he was over a bunch of soldiers, a Roman soldier. He was like a captain over a bunch of soldiers. His little girl is about to die. And You know, so you see these three great needs here in this passage of Scripture. And, you know, Jesus meets the need of this wild man. I mean, Jesus, in verse number 15, comes along, and Jesus does something for him. This guy is not wild anymore. He's seated. And the Bible says in verse number 15, he's clothed. He's no longer in nakedness. You know? And he's in his right mind. You know, people that aren't saved are out of their minds. You know, people that don't have faith are out of their minds. They can't think right. They can't act right. They can't make right decisions. They're just messing their life up all the time because they're out of their minds, see. And Jesus puts people in their right mind. See, when you open your heart to Jesus, that's when you're really going to start thinking right. That's when you're really going to start seeing life, what it's all about. All of a sudden, instead of this maze, instead of this glaucoma eyesight you got that's cloudy, all of a sudden you can see straight. And you know where you're going, and you know what life's all about. And oh, does Jesus ever turn on the light, and the darkness flees. And you begin to see things and discern things and understand things. And so this guy is totally changed. I mean, that's what Jesus does when he comes to your life. He totally changes you. He changes you. He does it. Not me. It's not a church. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that changes lives. Nobody else can change lives. All the programs in the world can never change somebody. All the good things that you can do for people will never change. Changing somebody's environment will never change them. It's Jesus that people need. That's what people need in this country. Jesus in their heart and life. Say.
Amen.
That's what this country needs. And that's the only way it's going to be solved. The only way that people's needs are going to be met. They need to come to Jesus Christ. Have you come to Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? All right? So Jesus comes along and He just solves this problem of this lunatic. I mean, he's ready for asylum. I mean, he ought to be locked up. In fact, they try to lock him up. He breaks loose. He breaks out of the chains. He's so wild. He's uncontrolled. Just uncontrollable. A lot of parents today have uncontrollable kids. They just can't control them. They're just wild. See, that's the way this guy was. But Jesus, he solves that problem. And then the Bible says this woman who had this incurable disease, Jesus, you know, she touches the garment of Jesus, just touches his garment. You know, she has faith to believe that Jesus is God and Jesus has power. She's probably heard about some of the miracles he's done. And so she goes and she touches his garment and just suddenly, you know, all of a sudden, that disease that was incurable for 12 years, she tried to cure the disease. It's totally gone. And Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Jesus knew, you know how you touch Jesus? Faith. You know, when you put your faith and trust in Him, that's touching Him. Say, that's when you'll first touch Jesus. When you put your faith and trust in Him to be your Savior. Otherwise, you'll never touch Jesus. You'll never know Him. You'll never know His curing power. You'll never know how He can satisfy. Say, you got to touch Him by faith. And she touched Him, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And you remember, you know, the woman said, "I did, Lord." Why did Jesus do that? You think it was to embarrass her? Was Jesus trying to embarrass this lady and say, "Hey, was he trying to do it?" No, he was strengthening her faith. See, when you take a stand, you make public decisions, you strengthen your faith. There's so many people. When's the last time you made a decision for the Lord? When's the last time you walked down the aisle of a church and you made a decision for the Lord? When? 100 years ago? No. 5 years ago? When's the last time? You see, you'll never have a strong faith unless you publicly take a stand on that faith. Make decisions. And that's why Jesus was having this woman to declare, "You know, I touched you, Lord." I mean, why? Because it strengthened her faith. And she went on, she lived for the Lord. She had a faith that was strong. Because she made decisions. And she wasn't afraid to publicly declare, "It was me, Lord, that touched you." And you know, when you come down an aisle with an invitation, you know, you are publicly declaring, "Lord Jesus, you touched me tonight, and I'm taking my stand. You touched me, and I opened my heart to you, Lord. And you know, that's how you strengthen your faith, friend. That's how you build your faith. You make decisions. You never stop making decisions. You never let that become something you're doing in your life. You are constantly making decisions and making public decisions. Doesn't mean you walk down the aisle, but you know what? You tell others about decisions you made. You got to tell others. You don't keep a decision you don't tell other people about. Tell your wife. Tell your husband. Go home and tell your children. Tell your mom or dad. Tell the preacher. If you remember this week, we said, now, if you made a decision this week, you know, go tell a pastor or go tell me. Why do we do that? Some feather in our cap? Make us feel good? So we could write to the sword of the Lord and say we had these people come to us? No. We do it because it strengthens you. It helps you to go out of this church and walk the streets of this world in faith and not in denial and unbelief like the world is, filled with unbelief, filled with total rejection of the truth of God's Word. This world is total. That's why we're such a mess. We've rejected the Word of God, and people don't believe it anymore. They don't believe the Bible anymore. And so this little girl, I mean, Jesus meets her need. And the Bible says, verse 23 through 35, you know what? That the Lord healed this little girl from dying. So here we find, you know, I mean, these professional mourners are there mourning she's going to die, and her parents are crying, and we find that Jesus comes by and heals her, you see. You know, Jesus meets needs. God is able, Jesus is able to meet your need, whatever it is tonight. He's able to meet your need. He's a need meter. That's what he does. Jesus is out to meet people's needs. You know, Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, faced the devil. He faced disease, and he faced death, and he conquered all three of them. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is not just somebody who's got long hair, you know, and he's a picture of him. By the way, he doesn't have long hair anyway. That's not biblical. And so, Jesus is someone who is real, and he's powerful, and he longs to meet needs of people. He longs to meet your needs, whatever they may be. Say, he's longing to meet your need tonight, whatever it may be. Say, so, here's what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to apply to your life that He is able. He wants you to apply that to your life, that He is able to meet your need, whatever it may be. He's able to meet your need. What's your need tonight? What's your burden? All of us have burdens. You know, a person is building it. Listen, you're dead if you don't have burdens. I mean, you got burdens. All of us have burdens. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's some kids, some teenagers going down the wrong road. Maybe your burden is an addiction. You're addicted to drugs or alcohol, or you're addicted to pornography. And I tell you what, the young kids today are, you'd be surprised how many young teenage boys are addicted to pornography today. I mean, it's everywhere. You can't walk into a store but when you see it right in your face. You can't go to the mall but there's all kinds of pornography all over. And no wonder kids are addicted to pornography. And I'll tell you what, it's not just boys, it's girls too. Girls are got addictions. Addicted to something on the internet. Addicted to music. A lot of them are addicted to music. And they can't get up in the morning without waking up to a certain kind of music. You know, they're addicted. Maybe your burden is an illness. Maybe your burden tonight is concerning your family. Maybe your burden tonight is financial. Maybe your burden tonight is sin. Some sin that you're a slave to, that has got a grip of you. You've got an addiction. You've got a sin. You've got a burden. You see, God is able to meet your need. He's able to take and solve your burden. He's able to do it. I'm not. You're not. The world's not. See? But God is able. See, the devil doesn't want you to believe that God is able. He doesn't want you to believe that. That you got to help him. That you got to go to the world, the psychologists of the world, and you got to go to the worldly programs. God isn't able to do it. You got to do it yourself. You got to find some kind of program or some kind of, source of education, out there. God, we've gotten away from believing that He is able. Devil doesn't want you to believe that He's able. God wants you to believe that He is able. God wants you to believe that with all your heart, with all your might. He wants you to believe it. Now I want to show you tonight how Jesus is able. How Jesus is able. And I believe that we find three examples in these stories here of why Jesus is able tonight. Alright, first of all, here we see that tonight in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus is able to deliver from the devil. Do you know, folks, there are lots of people who are demon-possessed today? Do you know there are lots of people that are demon-influenced and demon-controlled? You know, the devil is not like God. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. You can't go anywhere where God wouldn't know where you are. I mean, you can't hide yourself away that God wouldn't know. Your parents wouldn't know it. Your husband may not know it. Your wife may not know about it. You can't go anywhere God doesn't know about it. God doesn't see it. You know? God knows. Say, God knows. He's omnipresent. That's what we call omnipresent. The devil is not omnipresent. He's ubiquitous. He can only be in one place at one time. So when you say the devil maybe knew it, maybe the devil didn't, because the devil might have been in China. Okay? Well, you say, well, you know, doesn't the devil have demons? Yes, he does. He got many of them. He has many helpers. They're called demons. And you know, our country and our world is a world that is very much influenced by demons. Very, very much influenced. Devil activity is becoming more and more predominant in America than ever before. You know, the Bible tells us that the demons are very active in all kinds of different things. Now, you think of incest. I mean, incest is growing by leaps and bounds across America. You know what incest is? That's relatives abusing relatives. You know, a mother, raping her son, or vice versa, father raping the daughter. Incest. It's going by leaps and bounds. I was up in Connecticut, and you know, there was a man in there who was a grandfather, and he raped his granddaughter. He had incest with his own granddaughter. Can you imagine that? You know, how can you explain that? Demons. Demon control, demon influence. I mean, folks, demons take clothes off. Demons are for immorality. Demons are for incest. They love it. They thrive on it, say. And so, you know, we see demons' activity in incest. In modesty, you see demons' activity in modesty. You know, I was at church in California, and we went to visit this old-time town up in the mountains. And they had some of the old stores there. They renovated them and redid them so the tourists could come in and see what these old stores were like. And so we went to one of these old stores, old general store, where you could get clothes, you could get groceries, you could get nuts and bolts. I mean, it was a general store. You know, you just get everything in there. And in this store, which was set up like it used to be, you know, back in the years, there was a certain area where there were some drawers. And those drawers contained ladies' undergarments. And when a woman would want to get some undergarments, all the men had to go into another room. And then, you know, they'd pull out the drawer and the lady would... Folks, I would tell you something. We're so far away from that, aren't we not? The immodesty that is being purported across... Who's behind all that? The demons of hell? They're behind it. You know, rape isn't just the fault of a man. It's a fault of a woman, too. It's a two-way street. When a woman dresses and provocatively and, you know, shows every crack and crevice of her body, she is provoking a man, and she's just as guilty of committing the rape as the man is. Who's behind all that? The devil. The devil's behind that, folks. He's active today. Sodomy is growing by leaps and bounds. I'll tell you something. Now Christians are accepting homosexuality as all right. Christians are accepting that. Bible doesn't accept it. Who's behind that? The devil. The devil's behind that. I heard of a mom and a father. They are letting their child, who happens to be a boy, you know, I think I know what a boy looks like, you know, and they are saying their boy is gender neutral. Gender neutral. In other words, they're giving him the opportunity to determine what gender he wants to be. Folks, who's behind that? Do you think God's behind that? There's a devil. He's real. And he is behind all of this. This tremendous breakdown of morals. I mean, look at abortion. New York has just passed a law that says it's okay to have an abortion after a baby's born. Who's behind that? The devil. The devil's behind that. You know, we heard the testimony of Pasha's wife. Thank God her parents didn't have an abortion. You know what? My real dad, wanted me to have, my mother to have an abortion. I was born out of wedlock. Now, you know, the devil is behind abortion. He is. Because, you see, God is able to take a wrong choice of a man and a woman, and it's wrong when two people get together and aren't married and they have sex outside the bounds. That's a fornication, the Bible says. It's wrong, but God is able to take the wrong choice of people who repent of that wrong choice and say, you know, it was sin, and they repent of it. God is able to take that child that was born as a result of that wrong choice and turn him into be a preacher to preach the gospel. Amen. Or to marry a preacher. See, God doesn't have to take the back seat to wrong choices. God is able to take the wrong choices that you and I make if we'll repent and turn them around. Without condoning the sin. You know, God honors repentance. Boy, if there's one thing God gets all excited about, is when you repent. When you repent of your sin, when you repent of your wrong choices, and you repent and say, you know, I'm not living for God like I should, and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to get back to the walk of God, God will. And you really repent. I mean, He knows. I mean, you can say you repent, and I got to take your word for it. I'm not going to call you a liar, but God knows whether you're lying. You can fool me, and you can fool the pastor. You can't fool God Almighty. I tell you, He knows whether your repentance is sincere, and He will honor sincere repentance. My mother repented. And you know what? God gave her a son that was born out of wedlock who became a preacher. It's not too late, folks. You can see God able to do mighty things in your life if you're willing to repent. Get right with God. Start doing right and living for the Bible and living for Jesus Christ and following Him. I'll tell you what, He is a great God. Now, what was this guy's problem? You know, what was this guy, this wild lunatic who's running around naked, uncontrollable? I mean, they'd wrap him up in irons and he'd break the chains. I mean, he had, you know, the devil's got a lot of power. I'll never forget, I was in church one time years ago and I was preaching against rock music. And all of a sudden, there was a man visiting, and all of a sudden, this kid started going this way. Arr. And I thought he had an upset stomach, you know. And then all of a sudden, it got louder. Arr. And I kept preaching away. I didn't stop. And I knew something was going on there. I could sense somebody's presence there other than the Lord's. And he got louder. Arr! Arr! And I'm trying to preach over that. I'm not going to let the devil out-preach me. Amen?
Amen.
And I just kept preaching away. And, you know, this kid was a skinny... I mean, he'd stand sideways. You know, if he didn't stand sideways and wear skis, he'd go down the drain in the shower. You know what I mean? He was just a skinny kid, you know? And just a little wimp of a guy, you know? And I tell you something, he got so upset, the devil in him got so upset, those demons got so upset that that boy literally pulled the pew right up out of the floor. It was cemented in, riveted in some cement. We had to have a bunch of men take that kid, he was kicking and screaming, and take him outside. And we plead the blood, and all of a sudden he calmed down. We plead the blood of Christ. You know, there's one thing the devil doesn't like, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something. But that night, I tell you, I scared. I never had sensed the presence of the devil like I sensed that night. My kids were scared. They couldn't go to sleep for a few weeks. They had to sleep right with us. You know, they were so scared. Folks, the devil is real. There's nobody to mess around with. This guy's problem was not that he had a bad home. His problem was not that he was hyperactive and he needed Ritalin. You know, his problem was not that, you know, what sociologists say, he needed a different environment. His environment was just bad. His problem is found in verses 8 and verse number 2. Look what the Bible says, verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And in verse number 13 as well. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out. You see, folks, this guy's problem is that he had demons. He had an unclean spirit. Do you have an unclean spirit tonight? You know, it's one thing to not have, you know, unclean things in your flesh. You know, a lot of unclean things in the flesh. Booze, you know, pornography, you know. I mean, there's a lot of unclean stuff that you can have in your flesh. But how about your spirit? See, the devil loves to get in the area of the spirit. What I'm talking about? I'm talking about unclean spirit of bitterness. You got bitterness towards someone. Unclean spirit of hatred. Some of you hate. That's an unclean spirit. That's demonic. The devil wants you to be possessed with an unclean spirit. Of jealousy. You're jealous over someone's got something more than you do. Or envy. You're envious over the nice house someone has and you don't have it. Look at our world just filled with envy. People today, you know, they think, well, I deserve just as much as those rich people do. I deserve all that they have. I deserve it all. No, you don't. The only thing you deserve is hell. That's the only thing anybody deserves. Hell. We're sinners. That's an unclean spirit. Envy, jealousy, bitterness, hatred, unclean spirit. Do you have an unclean spirit, child of God? No wonder revival can't break loose in our churches. We got a bunch of churches members who are filled with unclean spirits. Demonic possession. Now, of course, a child of God can't be possessed, but you can be influenced. I mean, you know, Peter was influenced by the devil when Peter said, Lord, you're not going to go to that cross. Lord, we love you too much. We're not going to let you go to that cross. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, get behind me, Satan. See, even Peter, a great man of God, at a particular point in his life, was influenced by demons. You can be saved and not ever possessed by a devil, but you can be influenced by one. You know how an unclean spirit will influence you? How the devil? Stay home from church. Watch that program. You don't need to be in church. That's not important. Unclean spirit of the devil. See, anything that's contrary to this word is unclean. Anything contrary to the Bible. It's unclean. Say. And so the devil, you know, he gets into people's lives through unclean spirit. Do you have an unclean spirit tonight? You see, the Word of God says we don't have to have an unclean spirit. Why? Because we have a God who's able to throw out that unclean spirit. Jesus Christ is able to clean up your spirit life and throw out bitterness and throw out hatred and throw out unforgiveness and throw out envy and throw out jealousy. He can throw it out of your life. Jesus can. But you got to come to Him. You got to identify the unclean spirit you got and come to Him and say, Lord, You're able. Lord, I'm not able to get rid of this unforgiveness. You don't know what my dad did to me. Lord, I'm not able to forgive this person because it's really bad what they did. No, You're not able, but He's able. God's able. Jesus able. You got to come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, would You clean me up and get this unclean spirit out of my life? You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a great verse. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. You see, Satan doesn't have to set up housekeeping in your living room. Satan doesn't have to be in your life, influencing you and filling you with unclean spirit. Why? Because Jesus Christ is able. I'll tell you something, you don't have to be filled with fear. There's the unclean spirit of fear. How many people are afraid to go to bed at night? How many people are afraid of the dark? How many people are filled up with fear? Listen, when you're living with God, you have someone, and living and walking with God, you know what? You don't have to fear. Why? Because He's going to take care of you. He'll take care of you. He can protect you. You know, there's a lady who went to a revival meeting, and God just really worked in her heart, and she made some wonderful decisions for the Lord in that particular revival meeting. And, you know, she is on her way home, and she's just singing, you know, she's rejoicing in the Lord. Her spirit's been cleaned up, you know, she got rid of the unclean spirit in her life. And so she's going home, and all of a sudden this robber comes up and says, "Give me your money!" And by the way, as she's going home, she's singing, "Under His wings, I'm safely abiding." She's singing that song, you know. They sang it in church that night, and it just kind of touched her heart. And she's taking that song home with her. You know, it's good to take a song home from church, you know. It's always good to take a song, you know, and sing it. And she's singing that song. The devil, you know, the devil doesn't like a singing Christian. He doesn't want you to sing the song. He wants you to sing the world songs. He wants you to sing the rock. He wants you to sing, you know, the country western. The devil doesn't like singing Christians. You know why? Because they're powerful. What are Paul and Silas doing in jail? Singing. And I'll tell you something, God got such a blessing out of that. He said, boy, oh man, I got to do something about this. I got to get those guys out of jail. See, you start singing, something will happen. You need to get different songs in your life. A lot of you people, you got the wrong music in your life. You got to get God's music in your life, see? And so she's singing this song, "Under His Wings," and this guy comes over, the robber, "How about all your money?" And the lady turns to him and says, listen, she says, "You can't scare me. I'm under His wings." And the guy, the robber, took off running. He got scared. Under His wings. What are you talking about? Under His wings. I don't see any wings around here. He took off running. I mean, she had victory over fear. Why? Because she didn't have the unclean spirit of fear in her life. You got fear in your life tonight. It's an unclean spirit, and Satan will use it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Oh, listen. I could go on and on tonight, but I got to hurry up here. The second reason why God is able to deliver you, Jesus is able to deliver you, and the second way He's able to deliver you, He's able to deliver you from a materialistic day. You know, I have lived long enough to know that people are after one thing in life more than anything else, a buck, a dollar bill. People are after dollars. They're after bucks. And I'll tell you something, I've lived 1940, I was born, I lived in the 40s, I lived in the 50s, I lived in the 60s, I lived in the 70s, I lived in the 80s, I lived in the 90s. I'm in the 2000s now, 2010, almost 2020. And boy, I tell you what, I have seen that growth over those years, that desire for dollars, that desire for bucks. I mean, people will take a job, will take them out of church because they can get more money. And people will, you know, cheat on their income taxes because they can get more money. They'll do anything they can to get more bucks And that's the world that we live in. See, but you don't have to live that way. You can be set free from materialism. Are you set free from materialism? I mean, what part does materialism play in your life? Is it really, really a big part in your life? I mean, do you make decisions on the basis of money? You know, materialism is such a strong thing in so many people's lives. And, you know, the Word of God is clear that we can have victory over materialism. I know a lady who, to get more money, she sold her kids into pornography. She started getting them in pornography, taking pictures of them to get money. I met a man one time when I was in Stroudsville, a pastor up there, and this guy had a business, and he'd sell these motorbikes. And you know what he'd do? He would steal the motorbikes and bury them and then claim insurance to cover the motorbikes. He'd get the insurance, plus he still had the bike to sell. Materialistic world. You know, you may not be possessed by a demon tonight, not possessed, but you can be influenced by a demon. But I'll tell you something, maybe you're possessed by materialism. Maybe you're possessed by materialism so much that you don't tithe. Well, I can't tithe, preacher. I got this to do and I got that to do. And, you know, I got this bill to pay and I got that bill to pay. I can't tithe. Well, my friend, I want to tell you something. You can't afford not to tithe. And you know something? God is able to take the 90% that you have left over after you give the 10% of your income to your local church. God is able to take that 90% and take it further than you could ever make the 100% go. You believe it? See, a lot of you don't believe it. Your faith is just teeny. You may say, boy, maybe you just got enough to get saved. But as far as, you know, being used of God, you don't have enough faith to fill a thimble. Because you can't even believe that God can take the 90% and take it further than you could ever make the 10% go. You know, Jesus performed a miracle here. He let this guy that was possessed of demons, you know, to get out of that demon possession. He's clothed, he's seated in his right mind. And so the people of the city hear about it. And of course, demons are always looking for a body. Demons like to find a body they can influence or dwell in. And so these demons were going to be cast out of this guy. And the demon said, oh, let's go in those hogs over there. They're bodies. We have to have a body. And let's go in those hogs over there, those pigs. That's what a hog is, a pig. Okay, that's what they call them in Iowa, hogs. You know. And so, sure enough, those demons go over and get in those hogs. And they run down a cliff. The hogs can't stand it either. I mean, they're wild. They're uncontrolled. They run down a cliff and go into the lake and they drown. And the people of the city hear about this, that these hogs are drowned, you know. And they don't care that a man that was a lunatic is clothed and seated in his right mind. All they can think about is their hog business. All they can concentrate. They can't think about anything else than their hog business. They'd rather have their hog business than have a man seated and clothed in his right mind. You say, well, they're terrible. But some of you are just like that. What's the hog that's keeping you from putting Lord first? What's the hog that's keeping you from tithing and, you know, not being materialistic in your living? What's the hog? Could it be a business? Could it be your friends? Could it be your family? You know, could it be something of that nature? You know, whatever you're putting ahead of God is a hog. And there are a lot of Christians who'd rather have hogs than people clothed, seated in their right mind. They'd rather go out and play the things of the world and do the things of the world than go soul winning. What keeps you from going soul winning? What hog is standing in the way? You know? Oh, we need revival, folks. We got a lot of hogs in our lives. A lot of stuff we're putting ahead of God. A job, a home, a car, a business, sports. clothes. Man, there's lots of hogs that God's people are putting in the way. You know, in Acts chapter 5, the Bible tells us Ananias and Sapphira and Barnabas had given all to the Lord's work. You know, and he was happy. You know, the Bible says, more blessed to give than receive. It's a great joy to get saved. That's receiving, though. You get saved. But there's a greater joy than receiving. That's giving. You know, a church could never go forward when you got a bunch of people whose philosophy is materialistic. Who say, man, I can't afford. I got this to get, and I got that to get, and I just can't afford the tithe. That church will never go forward unless you got some people who say, you know what? I'm not going to be materialistic in my life. I'm going to give to the Lord's work because I want to see some people clothed and seated in the right mind. I want to see some people saved. And I'm going to give sacrificially to cause that work of God to go on for the Lord. See, I believe if God's people were tithers, we would never have a financial need in any church. If all God's people, everybody claims to be saved. A member, just the members, even, just the members. If they were really tithers, I don't think we'd ever have a financial need. Well, Barnabas, he gives, and Ananias and Sapphira see how happy they are, you know, for giving, and they say, man, boy, that'd be great too. Let's do it too, but we're not going to give all. We'll just say we gave all. And they lied. You know, it's a good thing we don't live back in those days, amen? I wonder how many Christians would be dead. People claim to be Christ would be dead because they lie. They lie all the time. They sing, I surrender all, but they haven't surrendered all. It's a lie. You know, if you haven't surrendered all, don't sing a lie. Don't sing it if you haven't surrendered all. Don't lie. You know, back in this day, I mean, these people lied and they were killed. I mean, God Almighty smote them dead. You see, if you don't deal with your covetousness, God will deal with it. You don't deal with the materialism of your life and put the Lord ahead of money and pleasure and things, God will deal with you. God, if you're His. Now, if God doesn't deal with you, I tell you, it may be that you're a bastard. That means illegitimate. Never really been saved. Never really been born again. See, God doesn't spank the devil's children. He only deals with His children. So, you know, I tell you what, these guys were covetous over here in this passage of Scripture. But you know what? We don't have to be that way. Because our God is able to meet every need that we have. If we put Him first, God's people have never been begging bread. David said, I've been young, I've been old, but I've never seen one of God's children begging bread. God will take care of you. God will supply your needs. As you put Him first in the area of money, and you put Him first in the area of material things, and say, He's going to be above all those things. He's going to be first. I'll tell you something. God Almighty is able to make sure that you have your bills paid. God Almighty is able to supply the food you need in your table. God Almighty is able. Is your God that big? Or you got a little teeny God? You got to help Him out because He can't do too much. See, we don't have much faith in God. We need a revival of believing that God is able to do it. I love that, Ephesians 3:20, don't you? It's a mind-boggling scripture. God is able to do exceedingly. Well, if we stopped there, that'd be pretty good, you know, exceedingly. But He didn't stop there. Exceedingly above! That'd be more. Exceedingly above, man. Boy, that would be, you know, just stop there. That'd be great. Exceedingly above all! Man, that'd be great. You know, God is able to exceedingly above all that we could ever ask. I mean, that's even going higher. And then it goes on that we can think. God is able. Dear friend, we need faith to believe that again. We need faith to believe that God is able to lift the burden on your heart. God is able to work in your family. God is able to save that lost husband. God is able. You need to get back to believing that. We need a revival believing it. That God is able. Oh, listen. I wonder tonight, dear friend, do you need to have a new dedication to believing that God is able. To believing God is able. Some of you are depressed tonight. Life's hard. Life's rough. Life is very troubling. You're depressed, but God is able to take you out of that depression. Some of you tonight, you have a bunch of sin in your life, a load of sin, but God is able to take away that load because Jesus died for you and shed His blood. And He can wash away all those sins and set you free from the grip of them. God is able. Some of you got some sin that's got a hold of you and it's holding you back. You know, God is able. I know a guy one time, he had a cigarette problem. And boy, I tell you what, he knew it wasn't right. He knew it was holding him back from being what God wanted him to be. And man, he would try to quit it. And he'd quit for a little while, you know, and then pretty soon he'd go back to it. And so one particular service in a revival meeting, he told me this. He said, I came forward and I said, I got down on my knees. And I said, God, I can't quit. You're going to have to take it from me. I've tried. I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord. You're able to do it. God, I'm asking you, break the power of this habit in my life. I know it's holding me back from what I ought to be for the Lord. Break the power of it. He said, Brother Gilmore, that night, God Almighty took that cigarette, smoked it out of my life. He said, I've never touched a one since then. You will never be a Christian you ought to be when there is some sin you're addicted to, like that kind of a sin. God is able to break that addiction, whatever it may be in your life. God is able, you know, to meet your financial need. You got a financial need? Hey, maybe it's because you're not tithing. You're not giving to the Lord. You're robbing God of what belongs to Him. No wonder you got that financial need. God is able. You got a marriage problem tonight? God is able to solve the marriage problem. God is able to do it. You can't, but God is able. You need to get back to believing that God is able. And stop trying to do it in your way, let God do it His way. See, that's the way we make God able in our life. When we stop doing it our way. Living our way. Doing it the way we want to do it. And say, God, I'm through with doing it the way I want to do it. I'm going to start living the way You want me to live. Boy, when you make that decision, you are unleashing the ability of God to show Himself strong in your life. When you come to that place where you say, Lord, I can't do it, but You can do it, and I'm bowing to You. I'm bowing to You, Lord. I'm bowing to Your way of doing it. I'm going to stop telling you how to do it. I'm going to just say, Lord, I want You to do it the way You want to do it. I want You to live my life the way You want me to live it. I'm tired of living my life the way I want to live it. That's when you bring God's ability in your life. When you come to that place, say, God, I am true with trying to live my life the way I want to live it. I want to start living it the way You want me to live it. Is God able in your life? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Is He able to do that in your life? Not when you're doing it your way. Not when you're living your life your way. It's only when you come to that place in your life where you say, God, I'm going to stop doing it my way. And I'm going to start doing it the way You want me to do it. I'm going to start living the way You want me to live. And then you unlock the mighty power of God. Let's pray. I want to ask you a question tonight. Did God speak to you tonight? Did God speak to you tonight? Did He? You say, yes, He did, preacher. Then, will you do what God wants you to do tonight? What do you need to bow to God in? What do you need to bow to Him in? Where you've not been bowing to Him. You've been living your way. Doing it your way. What do you need to bow to God in? How many would say this tonight, preacher, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, say, preacher, God spoke to me tonight. Would you be willing to say that it, honestly and truthfully, if God spoke to you, would you lift your hand, just lift it up high and hold there? Yes, 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 yes. God spoke to me tonight, preacher. Here's my hand. God did speak to me tonight. Amen. All right, I want you to stand with me. Everyone's heads bowed and their eyes are closed. And would you stand with me as we come to this point in the service, in the invitation? You know, I believe in making public decisions. I believe God is honored when we make public. It builds our faith. It increases our faith to believe that God is able. And if God spoke to you tonight, in the fact that you need to start getting more a hold of this truth, that God is able. God is able. And you just need to get a hold of that truth more and more, and you are convinced of it. And you're willing to say, God, I don't want to do it my way anymore. I want to bow to you. I want to bow to your way, to your will. I want you to be able to work exceedingly abundantly in my life above all that I could ever ask or think. I want to loose you up to be able to work in the burdens I'm carrying, to lift those burdens off me, to solve problems in my life. God, I want to free you up to lift the burden that I'm carrying tonight. And I'm going to just say, Lord, I am bowing to you. I don't know what you need to bow. Maybe you need to bow to him and get saved. Maybe you need to bow to him and get baptized. Maybe you need to bow to him and say, you know, I've not been faithful to come to church and I'm going to get in God's house. Maybe you need to bow to him in tithing and giving. Maybe you need to bow to him in some other area of your life. Maybe you need to bow to him and say, Lord, I've got an unclean spirit. I need that. I want you to take that unclean spirit out of my life. I don't want it there. Jesus, drive that unclean spirit that the demons of hell have put into my life. I want you to take it out. Now, we believe in making public decisions around here. So if God spoke in your heart about knowing God is able and believing God is able and doing a fresh in your life, and you want him to be able in your life, would you just slip out from where you're standing right now and come and just get on your knees right here and talk to the Lord about it? Would you come right now? If you raise that hand, you say, I want God to be able to show himself in my life and the burdens I carry, the problems I have, the people that are a grief to me, I want God to be able to work in their lives. Would you come, get on your knees and say, Lord, I bow to you. I bow to you because I want you to be able. I don't want you to be tied up and restricted from being able to work in my life with all of its burdens, with all of its difficulties. Life's tough, life's hard, folks. I know it is. But God is able. God is able. Would you let him be able in your life? How do you do that, preacher? You bow to him. You bow to him. And say, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. I want to obey you. I want to put you first in my life, in every way, in every possible way. I want you to be first and foremost. Thank God we have many people forward here tonight. I sense the presence of the Lord. I sense the devil's tucking his tail and running out of here. The devil knows that he's lost the battle tonight. And God's won the victory tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Thank you that he's a miracle-working God. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, show your mighty strong. Bear your arm, Lord. Lift the burdens of the hearts of these people. Lord, all of us have needs. All of us have burdens. Lord, help us to bow before you. That's the way we get the burden lifted, to bow and say, oh God, I'm getting rid of the hogs in my life. I don't want anything I'm putting ahead of you anymore. I want to put you first and foremost in my life. And I pray, dear God, that you would just work some mighty wonderful things in the lives of each of these folks who have come tonight. You've talked to their heart. You've spoke to them. And Lord, I thank you that they've said yes to you. They touched the hem of your garment tonight, Lord. And like that woman went away healed totally of her disease of 12 years after I spent all her money on earthly human ways of solving it, Lord, she went to the Savior. And I praise you for that. Now, Lord, just have your way in every heart and every life, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Pastor, you come close as God leads you, please.
Amen. I encourage you to anything the Lord has brought to our minds tonight, to pray about it tonight. Say, Lord, take it from me as we prayed tonight and replace it with something God-honoring.
Hmm.
Bible reading, prayer time, reading a Christian book, a good Christian book, doing things that are in the Word of God. Pouring back into our Bibles.
Yes.
And letting God do that. Let us bring some friends for tomorrow night for church. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful blessing it is to be reminded of these great truths from your Word. Though the devil tries to make us feel so guilty and beats us down with our sin, we thank you for this message tonight that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that through Christ that we can have freedom from sin. Lord, we pray you'd fill each one of us with your Spirit tonight. Lord, help us to desire to surrender all, that we can have a church that would be on fire for you, that would be zealous to win souls, zealous to help our friends, neighbors, loved ones, co-workers, family members who don't yet know Christ. That we can be free of the sins of the flesh and the sins of the spirit.
Yes.
Bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, malice, all those things that the devil is trying to keep us bound with. Lord, that you can free us from those.
Yes.
And we pray that you would bring out a great group again tomorrow night to hear your word, that more spiritual victories can be obtained. We pray that you'd help us to do our part, to invite them, Lord, to give that tender, loving, welcoming hand to them, that they can hear of your saving grace and your power to change Christians.
Lord,
thank you for your love tonight. We pray you just bless our night, take us to our homes in safety, and bring us back again tomorrow night for another wonderful message from your word that we all so desperately need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.